Welcome to this interview today on Brighteon.com. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon. As you know, all of us here at Brighteon.com, we value life. We value every human life, including the lives of children born and unborn. And joining me today is an exceptional woman that's part of an organization that is diligently fighting for the lives of these innocent children. Her name is Susan Swift. She's the Vice President of Legal Affairs at the Right to Life League, which is based in California, believe it or not. And she told me off air that, in fact, this is the original pro-life movement in California going back quite a few decades. So righttolifeleague.org is the website. And Susan Swift joins us now to talk about that right to life. Thank you for joining me, Susan. It's an honor to have you on.
Thank you, Mike, for having me. I really appreciate it. It's my honor to be with you.
Well, we're just thrilled to have you here. And I chose this backdrop here today. These are chromosomes that are kind of swirling on the screen. Yeah, people can see that. The reason I chose that is because isn't it true that an unborn baby has a unique genetic code that makes it a, or him or her, a unique individual?
Absolutely it does. That's genetics 101. You have a unique set of genetics, and it was created at the moment that the sperm and egg came together, and that's the moment of fertilization, conception. And that doesn't change. That from that moment on, you are a unique human being, and you are simply developing along the same lines of code that you've been divinely programmed to become as you go. So you're starting as one cell, you develop into more cells, and then you become even larger, and then you're born, and then you continue to grow, and finally to age. That is all a continuum that begins with your unique genetic DNA at the moment of conception.
The important distinction then is that this genetic code of this unborn child is in fact different and separate from the genetic code of the mother. It shares obviously Absolutely. Some of the code, but it is not the same. So this is a unique individual and is not tissue of the mother's body. Would that be correct?
Absolutely. There is a lie that's been perpetuated by the abortion cartel that somehow a baby is just a clump of cells, that it's not human. They're trying to dehumanize people. But frankly, every child, every unborn child is its own unique, DNA coding, if you will. We are all clumps of cells walking around. That genetic coding doesn't change. And when that child is conceived in the mother, he has his own body, his own cells, his own limbs, his nose, eyelashes, fingernails, everything. And they are separate from the mother's body. That's where the pro-aborts all get caught up, because they keep insisting on the autonomy of the mother,
right,
and the right to her body, which I am 100% pro-choice before conception. Right. I'm a woman. I want women to have rights over their bodies. No one should be raped. No one should have to undergo any kind of oppression. Absolutely. But we're not talking about the mother's body in the case of abortion. We're talking about an unborn human being in the womb. And what abortion does is it kills that human being in the womb before it can be born.
Well, right. Exactly. And murder is illegal in our society. It's just that the pro-abortionists want to have an exception where murder is allowed as long as it's an unborn child. But what do you say to those, because I've heard this logic before, where they say, well, if you oppose abortion or if you outlaw abortion, then you're causing forced births among women. What would you say to that kind of presentation?
That's really silly, because no one's forcing birth. Show me who is raping all of these women and forcing them to give birth. No one. Is it the state? Because that's their argument. What they say is that these state laws force a woman to give birth. Well, no one's raping these women. They're getting pregnant. They are becoming pregnant of their own free will and their own choice. Let's set aside the issues of rape, because they are so minuscule as to be almost imperceptible. They're less than 1% of the whole, continuum of things. So you're talking about women who have voluntarily become pregnant. It's an accident. In some case, maybe they regret it. Maybe they didn't intend or didn't anticipate becoming pregnant, but they took all of the steps necessary to become pregnant. Well, and now they have regrets. And this is now we're using abortion as after the fact birth control. And we are dehumanizing that unborn person in the womb Because exactly. That out of convenience, just out of convenience.
But this is what's interesting. So that the argument that I just mentioned, you know, a lot of these pro-abortion women, they want to engage in sexual activity without, let's say, birth control, or mm-hmm. or maybe the birth control fails them, or what have you. But they don't want to be responsible for their decisions of engaging in sexual activity. And instead of taking responsibility for their own decisions, they want to, in effect, sacrifice the life of another person to free them from the responsibility of their own decisions. Do you think that's an honest characterization?
Absolutely correct. You've said it perfectly, which is they're willing to sacrifice a life to avoid responsibility. That's exactly what they're doing. And it's very sad, because in most cases, I will say the data that we do have is that about 74% of women who choose abortion, this is from a Guttmacher study. Alan Guttmacher was the kind of the modern day father of the abortion as healthcare. Guttmacher Institute partnered with Planned Parenthood. So it is the data arm of the abortion cartel, if you will. And in 2014, they did a study and they found that about 73 to 74% of women who chose abortion did so because they believed they had no other choice. That's not choice.
Really?
That's desperation. Yes, they were, you know, under the power leg. They're afraid, and that is how we will eventually end abortion. When I say abortion, we have to recognize this is an elective procedure. This is not. We're not talking about a procedure to save a woman's life.
Right.
Because
right.
abortion is never necessary to save a woman's life. You have delivery for that. You can have a C-section and save a mother's life in mere moments if it is necessary, if we're really talking about the life of the mother. So abortion is never healthcare. It is never necessary to save a woman's life. But that's what the abortion cartel makes money on, and they sell it as a product to desperate young women who are afraid. And they're marketed to that way. I mean, no one ever warns a young couple just starting out, hey, don't buy new cars. Don't get car leases. Don't go into credit card debt. You might not want to pay for fancy coffees at Starbucks. You got to save your money. They do that all the time, but they don't talk to couples about, you know, planning for a family. They say spend money on all of these things, but a child is too expensive. Oh, you want to wait to have children because they cost so much money. They don't say the same thing. The debt companies, the credit card companies, and the consumer market are not warning young people about, you know, the cost of education debt, running up a bill for college at $200,000. They don't warn you about that. They just want to make sure you don't reproduce. And so they frighten young women into believing that their lives are going to be ruined by this baby and that they'll never be able to achieve their dreams. All of that is a lie, because what it does is it informs their choice, their quote unquote choice, to choose to kill a baby for their own convenience.
Yeah, exactly. And it's framed as women's reproductive health. And this, I've always had issues with this terminology. It's very misleading. First of all, it's not reproductive, it's anti-reproductive.
Correct.
And it's not about health of the unborn child, it's about their death. So maybe it should be called women's anti-reproductive death instead, you know, a policy there instead of women's reproductive health. But they use lots of mind games and then censorship and then threats of violence against those who oppose abortion, which I find, you know, quite fitting, because many of these people, they want to murder their own babies and then they want to commit violence against those who wish to protect those babies from being murdered. So it's actually consistent. They are philosophically indebted to violence.
Yes, the ideologues are, it is right along the lines with a kind of a Marxist ideology to frighten. Now, I think that young women who are facing that choice are probably afraid. I don't think that most of them go along with the notion of celebrating killing babies, although some do. But the ideologues are pushing a very Marxist trope in this case, because it is designed to divide and to separate a mother from the child, to alienate a mother from her child that she is willing to commit murder in the womb by choosing abortion.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Now, tell us a little bit about your organization, Right to Life League, some of the history. And again, the website is righttolifeleague.org for people who want to check it out. And I assume you also accept donations at that site?
We do. We have a donate button there. So if you go to righttolifeleague.org, righttolifeleague.org, you can go and see the programs that we offer. You can see our news and events, and you can also see that donate button, which is right up there on the top. The Right to Life League was founded in 1967, long before Roe versus Wade was a thing. We are America's first pro-life organization. We were founded by a group of doctors and lawyers and concerned citizens who wanted to go up to Sacramento to lobby then Governor Ronald Reagan. He was set to sign the first therapeutic abortion bill in California. It was called the Beilinson Bill. And so these groups of doctors and lawyers and citizens went up to Sacramento and had a 15-minute meeting with Governor Reagan that actually went to, I've heard, more than an hour. And in that meeting, they educated him about the truth of abortion and put the lie to the, it's a clump of cells and it's just, you know, conception tissue. And now you got to remember, in 67, this is before ultrasound, before you could actually see the baby in the womb. So that's why it was very important to educate people about the truth of abortion. And when they got done, Reagan was very sad because he had already given his word to the Democrats that he was going to sign the Beilinson bill, and he felt like he couldn't break his word. So he promised the League that he would never again sign another piece of pro-abortion legislation. And he kept his word all the way through his presidency.
Wow. Wow. It's hard to believe there was a day when the state of California would even produce a conservative president like Ronald Reagan, because things have changed so dramatically since then. California is often viewed, at least I would say by the rest of us in America, I'm in Texas, California, at least I should say the West Coast of California, is viewed as like crazy town. You know?
It is. It is the I've called it the abortion apocalypse out here. That 2022 ushered in the abortion apocalypse. It is a state that is controlled by the abortion cartel, and they are now teaming up with Big Pharma to push chemical abortion, through to every means necessary. And it's very sad. I'm a Texas native, so I get where you're coming from, and I'm appalled at what California has become. It used to be a very, very pro-life state, and now it is owned and run by the abortion cartel.
That is highly, highly disturbing. There are, I think, also spiritual implications to this. Perhaps we can get into that. But first, tell what is the state of the abortion pills by mail industry? Because I know some states have pushed back against that. Where does that stand right now?
Well, I think that we're seeing it like in places like Florida and I believe Texas. Governor DeSantis has warned places like Walgreens and CVS and Rite Aid that they shall not distribute the abortion pill through their pharmacies, that they're not allowed to do that. You'll remember back in January, the Biden administration loosened the restrictions on the abortion pill. Now, chemical abortion is two pills. It's mifepristone, which is the drug that interrupts the natural hormone, pregnancy hormone, progesterone, and it starves the baby to death over a few days. And then you take a second pill, misoprostol, and that induces basically premature labor, very strong contractions, uterine contractions, so that the woman is usually at home and she delivers this dead or dying baby into her toilet. How sick a chemical abortion is. Now, the funny thing is they don't even like to call it. The abortion cartel doesn't even like to call it a chemical abortion because that sounds bad, right? Because we're also organic and we have our organic chicken and we have our holistic life and I need a detox, right? So we So we don't call it a chemical. We don't call it pills. We call it a medication abortion because medicine sounds so much better, right? So it's a medication abortion. You have to remember, this is Marxist terminology to sell something. But a chemical abortion is basically a drug cocktail. And Biden he basically lowered the standards. They're called REMS, the risk evaluation mitigation strategies that the FDA applies to the abortion pill, and lowered them so that they could be distributed by prescription at pharmacies. Up until then, you had to go into a clinic or a hospital to actually get the prescription and take the medicine there, and so that you would actually have to see in person a doctor or a nurse and have to do an ultrasound scan to properly date your pregnancy. Why is that important? Because the abortion pill is not safe after about 10 weeks gestation. It's not safe for the mother. Now, it's 100%, it 100% kills the baby, but we're not talking about the baby's health now. We're talking about the mother's health. And with mothers, you're supposed to be dating the pregnancy to make sure that the abortion pill would be safe for her to take so that she's not too far along in her pregnancy. Well, they threw those rules out as well and said, no, it's okay. We'll just prescribe the medication by telehealth. medicine, so that you can get on, type your information in, basically do it over the phone by a Zoom call or telehealth medicine, and without ever having been seen by a doctor, without ever having been scanned to make sure, yeah, you really are 8 weeks along or 10 weeks along, and therefore chemical abortion is relatively safe, whatever they think. I mean, 28 women have died in association with taking the pill that we know of, and that's an FDA statistic, so it's not that safe in my mind.
I'm sorry, but yeah, what you're saying is horrifying, but let me add another layer of horror to this because people need to know the truth. So you just said that what happens after these chemical abortions is that the woman then passes the dead fetus, essentially induces labor.
Gives birth, yeah.
Birth and then into the toilet, and then this is flushed. So I did a film a few years ago with an EPA whistleblower, Dr. David Lewis. The film is called BioSludged. I have it on my screen, yeah. BioSludged.com. It's free for people to watch. What we found out in talking with scientists and with this film, what we documented is that every city in America takes the waste, the sludge, the human feces, everything that's flushed down the toilets. They take that material, they dry it, and then they distribute it on food farms all over the country. So they ship it out to rural areas. So we live in a country where quite literally dead babies are spread as fertilizer on farms that grow the food that people eat in these cities where they promote abortion.
They did a movie, like it was called Soylent Green. It's a science fiction movie, if you'll remember.
Absolutely. Soylent Green. A classic sci-fi classic.
Yes.
Soylent Green is people. Yeah.
Yes. Soylent Green is people. We are eating humans.
We are. This is only one step removed from straight up cannibalism. In other states, they can process dead bodies now and flush them down the sewage system. Yeah. That's legal in 20 states, 20 plus states. So how is it that those who are advocating abortion seem to be, and I'll ask you, but they seem to be completely oblivious to what happens next? Like this is going on your food, folks. How can people not understand that it doesn't just vanish because you flushed it down the toilet?
I'm shocked, and I had not thought through that myself. So I'm glad that you've talked about your movie BioSludge. I think everybody should see it, because that's literally what's happening now, that the abortion cartel has the ability to just prescribe the medicine. You drive through Walgreens, CVS, or Rite Aid. You go home. You take your pill at home on Friday or something, and you abort by Sunday. And these women are now alone for the most part. In these first trimester chemical abortions, there's no one there with them. There's no one there helping them through the agony of birth, because that's what it is. It's premature birth, but that's what they're doing. So no one's there with them. And yes, these babies are being born. They're dead, and they're being passed. Sometimes what happens, we know from the Daily Mail UK has a story. There's different stories around where women will take these chemical abortion pills past the safe time of 10 weeks or 12 weeks, and they deliver babies that are born alive.
Die
later.
Oh, no.
I'm not kidding you. I have the receipts. Yes. And so there was a woman, I believe it was in the UK, who took abortion pills at 30 weeks. She thought she was a lot sooner. I guess the doctor didn't check, but for whatever reason, gave the pills. She took them. She delivered at 30 weeks a little baby boy who lived for 4 days.
Oh, my God.
That's how sick this is. This is what the future of abortion is. We're no longer talking about sidewalk counseling and things like that. You can literally pick up your phone. You can literally pick up your phone and just Google abortion pill near me or something, and you can find these places that will just prescribe the pill to you. You don't even have to see a doctor. No one's going to date your pregnancy, and then you can go and pick up these pills, or someone else can buy the pills for you, right? A boyfriend could actually theoretically slip you the pill and starve the baby. What if the boyfriend didn't want the baby to live?
Right.
So there are no controls on this at all. It's not about women's health. It is about the convenient disposal of human beings. That's what this is. And it's being marketed as healthcare. And that's where, to get to your question, that's the lie that everybody believes. Many people are ignorant. They truly believe that abortion is a form of health care and that pregnancy is dangerous. That's been a lie that's been perpetuated for more than 50 years. And no one is correcting that, especially in the pro-life side. We must message better, which is that delivery is always an option for the life of the mother. If the life of the mother is truly in danger for an ectopic pregnancy, preeclampsia, any other condition that would actually endanger her life, delivery by cesarean section or other ways, that has to be considered, because that is in mere moments. You can deliver a baby, even remove the ectopic pregnancy, but you can do it humanely without sucking it into a sink and destroying it. But no one knows that, because the myth is being told that abortion is healthcare when it is not.
Yeah, it's all total misinformation designed that way. And yet they try to push censorship of voices like mine and yours, claiming that we are not telling the truth. We're the ones who are telling the truth. But, you know, something that strikes me in all of this, and I know this isn't the focus of your group, righttolifeleague.org is the website again, but I've interviewed guests, I've interviewed doctors who have been criminally prosecuted for prescribing ivermectin, which is designed to save a life. But yet these abortion pills are being pushed to destroy lives. And no doctor would ever lose their license under this political environment for prescribing an abortion pill, it seems, unless perhaps state law kicks in certain states, maybe Louisiana. But the point is, isn't it interesting how they control the supply? So they will allow something that kills people to be spread very far and wide, get it by mail, anywhere you want it. But something that saves a human life, oh no, you can't prescribe that. Can't save lives. That's not allowed. That's unscientific. That's not approved, you know? But how can an abortion pill ever be approved by the FDA as safe and effective if it terminates a human life? By definition, that's not safe and effective.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And there is, I believe there's a lawsuit that is currently going on against the FDA. I believe it was started in Texas by doctors. They're actually challenging the FDA's approval of the drug. And it was approved in 2000, by the way, under the Bill Clinton administration, with a handshake sweetheart deal with the Rockefeller Population Council.
No surprise there.
You can't make this stuff up. That's how RU486, the French abortion pill, came into the United States. And yes, RU486 is the same thing as mifepristone. It's the same drug. And that's how that population controlling drug came into the United States. And the FDA has been approving it, right? And I think that there's a challenge going on out of Texas. I believe it's in federal court, probably the Fifth Circuit, that is challenging the FDA's approval of the drug on those grounds. And of course, if they win, of course, it'll just get appealed up. And if it ends up that for somehow that the FDA has been ruled to have overstepped its bounds, then what the FDA will simply do is just run mifepristone right back through the process at expedited speed, of course, to get it, make sure, back on the market. But that is a really excellent attack on this notion. You're absolutely right, which is we have safe drugs like ivermectin that have been given to people for more than 60 years and saved countless millions of lives. And during the pandemic, we were not allowed to get it. And in fact, they were threatening pharmacists and doctors who actually prescribed it.
Well, the rule is very simple. If the drug saves lives, it won't be allowed. If it murders humans, it's completely okay with the establishment. But let me switch gears here. In addition to the chemical abortions that you've been talking about, we have chemical castrations taking place in this country under the trans treatment of children. Yes. And this is, is this not a form of, I don't know, infertility? I mean, lifelong infertility, especially if they undergo surgical procedures. Yes. The reproductive organs are permanently maimed and scarred. Is this just sort of the next stage of the abortion industry, or is it from a totally different angle?
I believe it is part of, and it is an extension. We already know that Planned Parenthood has started to invest heavily into the transgender surgeries, because that's where the money is. Follow the money. But yes, gender mutilation, that stops an entire line. At least with abortion, you're killing one child at a time. And perhaps that mother, maybe she's in her 20s, but maybe in her 30s, she decides she's going to have a baby and she can still have a few babies at that time if she hasn't been horribly scarred by some sort of accident during the abortion process or the chemical abortion. But with gender mutilation surgeries and chemical castration, which is the injection of testosterone into little girls and estrogen into little boys, it messes them up permanently for the rest of their life. That terminates their line. That is ultimately, right. that is gendercide, you know, 2.0. That is abortion care 2.0. You don't even have to worry about abortion if you get enough women or girls, I should say, to identify as men and have surgeries because they will never reproduce. And then the goal of population control is satisfied.
And in this way, it seems to me, this is just my assessment, not necessarily yours, but the abortion industry and now the trans industry, if you can call it that, is really a war on women.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It is to pretend that, as we see with Dylan Mulvaney, who is a dude, he's a guy, he's an actor and a bad one at that. And he is pretending to be a girl with full on makeup and everything. He's advertising for Nike and wearing bras that he doesn't need. And he's now got to deal with Bud Light and you know, makeup places and things like that. This isn't all, it's all let's pretend. And it is being, he's a TikTok influencer. Who do you think we're influencing then? Children. We are telling with drag shows and, you know, and drag show library hours, children hours, we are telling children that it's okay to transform themselves into something that they are not. And it is a mythology that we're selling to children, and it will sterilize them for life, and it will actually scar them, their ability to develop naturally and normally and be able to procreate. I think it's a war on procreation. That's what I would call this trans push.
Yeah, it's a war on procreation, or you could even argue a war on creation. Or on God's creation.
And women should be especially careful because fertility for thousands of years, the entire human history, fertility has been a gift and a blessing and just something to be celebrated and protected. And now we're actually going after women's fertility. We're telling women, just take a shot, you can be a boy. Just mutilate yourself and you don't have to be able to have children ever again. Sterilize yourself. This is a war on fertility and fecundity and reproduction. That's what we're seeing. And that is absolutely in line with the abortion cartel's desire to profit from abortion chemicals and also gender mutilation surgeries and gender chemicals.
Yeah, you know, I think that these gender mutilation surgeries will one day be recognized as the horrifying perversion of humanity that they are. And I think about the children of thalidomide, you know, that drug which caused women to give birth to children who were missing limbs. And we all remember those pictures. If we saw, you know, poor children completely deformed, wasn't their fault. But then fast forward 10, 15 years, we're going to have a generation of children who are also mutilated by the gender mutilation industry, who will also be deformed, infertile, unable to reproduce, and regretting this with scars and lifelong pain and, you know, new orifices in their bodies that don't belong there that are going to cause lifelong health risk problems and mental health problems. No wonder suicide rates are through the roof. I mean, this is a war on children.
Yes. And Goebbels would be proud. This is right along in line with the Nazi attempt to breed a better, you know, race of people and make sure that certain people did not reproduce. This is, Goebbels would be smiling at this. And you have to remember where Margaret Sanger came from. Margaret Sanger was the founder of Planned Parenthood, and she was a eugenicist.
That's right.
She was a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant woman, and she was a fan of Hitler. She thought what he was doing was absolutely wonderful. And she founded Planned Parenthood to push the notion of birth control into Black, Brown, and Catholic neighborhoods because she thought that they shouldn't be reproducing. She even developed a whole program that she sold to Black pastors called the Negro Project. And she didn't want everyone to understand what she was really doing, which is to reduce the Black population. So she was careful about how she said it. But that is exactly what her goal was, is to reduce the Black and Brown and Catholic population in the United States, just like what Hitler was doing. And so that's why I say Hitler would be smiling at what Planned Parenthood, the abortion cartel, is doing with gender mutilations and things, because then you're selecting who is going to be able to breed, are you not? Only those children who have been protected by their parents and who have been allowed to continue with, you know, keep their fertility and haven't bought into the lie of abortion as health care and all of that, they're the only ones that are even going to have the capability in the next 20 years to be able to reproduce. So that's why this influencing, this TikTok, this marketing toward children to be trans, to be drag shows, all of these things, they are attacking the essence of fertility and a continuation of a nation, of a world, if you will.
No, I remember there was that TEDx talk by Bill Gates many years ago, and he had the formula on the screen of how to reduce population. And he had multiple variables in there. And one of the variables, though, was improved, I think it was women's reproductive health is what he called it, or women's health care. And you and I know, oh, he's talking about abortion. He's talking about population reduction via abortion, and in his mind, that's a great thing. And that has really been adopted by, you know, many forces in society, many people who control the media or governments around the world.
And who? And the World Health Organization.
And the WHO.
And all of the whole one world global, the Soros, all of those people, they are pushing a population control. That's why they push abortion and population control on poor nations. Right?
That's right.
And then use the leverage of United States and aid to force them to comply with, you know, certain requirements to reduce their population over time.
It's unbelievable. Let me give resources where people can find more of your organization's work. You have abortionpillinjury.com, which very important. You want to tell us about that? Yeah.
I will. Abortionpillinjury.com is a program that we have started to try to reach abortion-minded women and get outside of the bubble. You and I and a lot of the pro-life media, we're in this bubble. But there are so many young women who do not hear the truth of what the abortion pill does. And so we created abortionpillinjury.com so that the goal with that, if we can raise the funding for it, frankly, because it costs money to target ads. What you do is you have a website, but then you use ad targeting to drive traffic into specific phones. You can you know, women of a certain age of this area, and if they search for abortion pill, it's very sophisticated. And I don't know how all of that works, but ad targeting is the way to go. You can actually direct that in the first two or three pop-ups on their cell phone when they're Googling, you know, abortion pill, that you can get them to see, oh, abortion pill injury, huh? You mean I can die from taking the abortion pill? That's true. You can. How many have died? Well, 28 have died in association with taking the pill. We have the stats up there. But the idea of the program is to get outside the bubble. And so that's something that we have successfully launched. We have the data that shows that it is highly successful when it is being used. You know, it's targeting. And what we would like to be able to do is drive that to every pro-abortion city and pro-abortion state in the nation. But that takes a lot of money. That takes a lot of work to be able to consistently market that, because that's getting the truth to actual choice to a woman. If you really want choice, do you really want to take these risks? Do you want to risk hemorrhaging? Do you want to risk sepsis and maybe even death? Do you want to risk those things when you take an abortion pill? That's something that women do not hear, because they're not marketed to. They don't hear the truth about the risks associated with the abortion pill, and that's our attempt to do so. But we're a nonprofit, so that's why if you know any people who are really big with pro-life, kind of like we need a pro-life Bill Gates, Bill and Melinda Gates, but pro-life, who want to actually spread truth around the nation, that would be a good website to drive traffic to all of these different places. That's who we need.
Why is it that so many of the billionaires are anti-life, anti-human, anti-freedom, you know, anti-truth? It's just amazing that the globalists seem to capture a lot of the big money people. But, you know, thank God that you are there, Susan, and your organization, righttolifeleague.org, is the website. And, you know, we are blessed to be here, brighteon.com, and doing very well, reaching a lot of people with a pro-human message. So I want to thank you, Susan, for taking the time to join us today. This has been a fascinating discussion. We got to have you back.
Well, thank you. And thank God for Brighteon, because otherwise we wouldn't have alternative media and alternative ways to give a pro-life message out. So thank you. God bless you. God bless Brighteon, and God bless America.
Well said. Absolutely. Thank you, Susan. And folks, that's Susan Swift, the VP of Legal Affairs at righttolifeleague.org. They're fighting behind enemy lines in California's If you are able to make a donation, consider that. The donate button's right on their website. Of course, I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon.com, pro-life, pro-humanity. Here we are fighting against the Luciferian agenda that wants to destroy all of us, and we say no, we're going to defend our lives. So thank you for watching. Feel free to share this interview or repost it on your own channels on other platforms. God bless you all, and like Susan said, God bless America. Take care. Today's episode is brought to you by HealthRangerStore.com. Check out some of the products we have there. We've got Coco Energize, which is a super delicious drink powder. Of course, lab tested, certified organic. It's delicious, hot or cold. We've got black cumin seed extract there in the tincture bottles. Very potent. Also lab tested for all the contaminants that we test for, you know, glyphosate, heavy metals, E. coli microbiology and so on. We've got Cardio Clear there, which is a formula to support your cardiovascular health and circulation with arjuna herb, as well as hawthorn berry. Check it out. It's just a really great formulation, very, very potent. HealthRangerStore.com is where you can find all these products to help support us here at Brighteon.com. I'm Mike Adams. Thank you for your support. A global reset is coming, and that's why I've recorded a new 9-hour audiobook. It's called The Global Reset Survival Guide. You can download it for free by subscribing to the naturalnews.com email newsletter, which is also free. I'll describe how the monetary system fails. I also cover emergency medicine and first aid and what to buy to help you avoid infections. So download this guide. It's free. It's my gift to you simply because I want like-minded people to survive.